At Roush Honda, our service department stands behind the promises our salespeople make. Our customers appreciate it, and it's helped make us the number one Honda dealer in Ohio. Straight talk, legendary service, Roush Honda.
Matt Mayer, terrorism expert, former Homeland Security, and at BuckeyeInstitute.org. Matt, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bob.
I see the DHS is announcing the grant guidance for the upcoming fiscal year for preparedness grants. What do you know about that?
Yeah, the ones we focus on are those urban area ones, which are those high-risk cities that they give money to every year, and they just released those yesterday. And much to our surprise, but very much a big kudos, I think, to the Obama administration. They finally stopped doing some pork barrel elements of this and cut the number of cities from 63 down to 31. For Ohio, what that meant was Toledo and Columbus are getting no money this year. Cincinnati and Cleveland will remain funded to about a $3.5 million pot of funds that they can use for terrorism activity.
Okay. I would imagine that's because of their ports, the shipping, and so forth.
Well, you know, there's a lot of factors that go in. I frankly was surprised that, not surprised that Toledo got bumped off. Toledo's not a very high-risk city and should never have been on the list in the first place. But I was surprised that Cleveland and Cincinnati outranked Columbus just because it's the capital city. There's a whole lot of infrastructure, a lot of government. But, you know, they don't disclose the reasons because of the classification issues. But I was surprised that at least Cincinnati was higher than Columbus. So Columbus is off. Cincinnati and Cleveland remain among the top 31 highest-risk cities in America.
You spoke earlier, Matt, about pork barreling. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, for years, you know, we've been fighting the grants. Even when I was there and in charge of it, I had to fight mightily to get the secretary to cut the city eligible list down to 35 because there's that political nature on Congress just to complain and whine if you know, you get cut out of it. And everybody wants a slice of the pie. And so, you know, we got the secretary down to 35 in 2006, but unfortunately in 7, 8, and 9, and 10, it ballooned right back up and ended up getting up to 63 last year. So there's just that nature. But the reality is that, the risk for the cities that are in the 50s, 40s, 50s, and 60s is really minimal compared to what's in the top 20 cities. So this is a really good move by the Obama administration to be serious on risk-based funding of cities.
Driver's License Security Grant Program, more than $44 million. What's that about?
That's really to implement the Real ID Act, which is to kind of strengthen the parameters around our driver's license, so that way they're harder to do fake driver's license.
Okay.
And that way there's a more secure ID, so we know that the person presenting the ID is who they say they are. So that's to help states implement that federal requirement.
Would we be better off with a national card, ID card, driver's license?
No, I don't think we would, because I think, you know, when you start talking about a national ID, you get into the security of the federal government and what the federal government wants to use it for. I think most Americans are far more comfortable with the state having information than really pushing that up to kind of a massive federal database.
Okay. More than $19 million for intercity passenger rail.
Yep, and that's really Amtrak. That's much money to help fund Amtrak and to do security around Amtrak. So put in place, you know, things that help detect chemical or biological packages, other things like that.
Okay. Anything else in here that you think should not be in here, and things that are not in here should be?
Well, you know, there are two things. One, we still think the amount of funding is too high. I mean, we have to keep in mind, even though Columbus and Toledo got kicked off the list this year, they've gotten tens of millions of dollars over the last several years in funding. So it's not as if, you know, they didn't have 10 years to actually prepare for a terrorist attack and put into place capabilities. So that's one, we're still sending too much money into the system. But also the way we do this doesn't respect federalism. We do it by grants rather than cooperative agreements where, you know, the federal government sits down with state and local partners as true partners to negotiate what are the outcomes we want to achieve and how do we want to best achieve that and what's your responsibility and what's mine. So we have to get to that still, but there's this is big progress to cut cities down to 31.
All right. What did Columbus use its money for in the past?
Lots of things. Interoperable communications, probably some turnout gear, stuff for police officers. Some probably went to overtime during heightened alerts, detection systems, fusion centers, which is those, you know, those intel entities that help look, you know, gather data and analyze it to see if there's any type of threats. Probably outreach in the Somali community because we have the second largest Somali population in the country, and right now that's an active hotbed over in Somalia for Al-Shabaab and the terrorist activities over there. So lots of different things.
Did we get our money's worth?
Oh, that's the one thing we don't know. We have very little accountability across the country on what we did with the money, what gaps were closed, and what gaps remain. And that's one of the things we've been pushing for aggressively out of the Heritage Foundation is to get Congress to get serious on getting accountability out of the department so we know what we bought, where we bought it, and what needs to be, what remains still to be done.
Matt, I thank you, sir. Matt Mayer, terrorism expert, former Homeland Security in that department, and he's also BuckeyeInstitute.org.